Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Steven Serto with you. It is kind of nice on this Wednesday where there's a 3 o'clock deadline for teams to agree to long-term contracts. Like, okay, Chiefs are good to go. Don't have to stress about that. If you're a Chiefs fan, you don't have to worry. They're done. They got it early.
What deadline?
24 hours in advance. Yeah, no stress today. No stress today. It's been a heck of a 8 days or so in Kansas City for the Chiefs. And with Chris Jones returning for at least 4 years now, with that news, of course, that broke during our show yesterday, the 4-year, $85 million deal. What does it mean in terms of the defense long term? And what does some of the analytical side of the sports say about that? Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, going to join us at 11 o'clock today. But when you look at where the organization is at, yes, we know certainly right now for the next 2 or 3 years, the window has been extended because of Chris Jones now going to be here for 4 more years. But you just look at sports right now and the Chiefs organization and how it compares to other organizations, not just in the NFL, but across the entire sports landscape in the United States. And they have the best player on the most important position in sports, and they've got the best, if not the second best, certainly coach right now in the National Football League. And they have a front office that between Brett Veach and Tillis and other individuals that people probably didn't know the names of about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Still a lot of guys I don't know the
right?
name of.
Yeah, and you look at that and what they have, clearly an ownership group that is willing to write checks. I mean, they, because of the guaranteed money, there's been like $100 million in just in checks that were having to be written and to put into escrow. Like, that's not every organization will do that. They are in a better spot than any other organization right now.
Could you imagine just cutting a $100 million check to put into escrow? Like, can I make payments on that?
Well, you remember
like, what's
with
going
the Khalil Mack stuff and a lot of that. Now, some people said it wasn't true, but going back with Mark Davis and the reason why maybe they weren't able to do a deal, and it turned out maybe that wasn't the only reason by any
sure.
means, but there were concerns that they, as an ownership group, did they have the money to write checks that
Jerry
were needed
Jones
that big?
Had to help fund some of the Raiders stadium, and they had to increase their debt ceiling, so that's not impossible. And the Hunts are not at the top end of the most rich families in the NFL. There are some people with like, where like Clark Hunt is even like, man, that guy is rich.
Dave Tepper,
like,
for example.
Like, there are even some guys that he's like, man, that guy is really rich. Like, so, and, you know, we're talking about the difference between, you know, a couple of billion and like 7 or 8 billion, which might not sound like a lot because the difference from 2 to 7 doesn't seem like a significant number. But let me tell you, the difference in $5 billion is significant.
Who doesn't think there's a difference between 2 billion and 5 billion?
People have a hard time conceptualizing that because of, think about it. It's a difference between 2 and 7, Gold. Because is the difference between $2,000 and $7,000 that big difference? I mean, to me, it is.
Sure.
To most people,
it is. Yeah, I don't know about you.
But to some people, I said to me. Yeah. But between a lot of people, it isn't. 2 to 500, however you want to look at it. It's just the number of 2 to 7 that doesn't blow people away. But this, like, when you're talking about them being one of the best-run professional sports organizations, it starts on the field because they have, I don't know, top players at 7 or 8 different positions. They have one of the best tackles, one of the best quarterback, the best quarterback. But you know what I'm trying to, for conciseness, one of the best tackles, one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best wide receivers, one of the best tight ends, one of the best safeties,
yep.
Tyrann Mathieu,
I
right?
Absolutely make, think so.
One of the best interior defensive linemen in Chris Jones, or just defensive linemen as a whole. You don't even have to limit him to interior defensive linemen. And, you know, so it starts to operate that way. But when it goes from Veach, like really the main key pillars of any organization you're looking for are, can they run their front office? Are they run well on the field? And then are they run well by players on the field? Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and, you know, Patrick Mahomes make kind of the perfect triumvirate, but it seems like everything else is ticking about right.
They truly have all of it working right now, and it seems to be the foreseeable future. Nobody's going away. The true pieces that are going to matter about going on a type of run that we haven't seen other than the Patriots, for example, and it just doesn't happen in sports. And you know, we'll go at 10:30 and talk about just how likely is it that they go back to back or do something that's never been done in the NFL, which is a three-peat. So we'll get to that at 10:30. But, you know, look, you know, Brett Veach clearly works some magic on this deal. They aren't paying Jones any more in 2020 than what they were already slated to pay. That in its own right is pretty amazing because you thought 16.
Same thing with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
right?
On both of these deals, they found a way to not impact 2020. And then even when it does impact the future for Mahomes, we know it's not till really year four where it gets kind of the crazy type of numbers. And for Chris Jones, when some of the final stuff will come out, we'll learn. But it really appears that it's going to be 2021. And then even then, they can still convert some of the figures perhaps. And so where they're not in trouble with the cap in that regard until 2022 or 2023. But guess what? Mahomes, again, it's not till year four his number gets crazy. By the time Mahomes' number gets crazy, the Chris Jones contract is over.
It's the best run organization in all of sports, which is coming a far cry from right before Andy Reid showed up, where they were one of the worst functioning teams as far as GM, on-field, and coach. I still obviously thought they had good ownership then, which is why they were able to bring in a guy like Andy Reid. So they weren't, you know, this is not Dan Snyder and the Redskins, all right? That's one of the worst run organizations in all of football. Top to bottom, no questions. Or the Cavs, in my opinion. You can say they've got championships recently.
I think it's the Knicks or the NBA answer. Yeah,
on that end. They suck. They got lucky to get LeBron, and it all worked from there. But they had real problems. And now they're the envy of every single professional sports team. Because, I mean, you're going to have a hard time giving another answer. A couple years ago, you might have said the Warriors because really good ownership, really good head coach, super team, whatever. You go through these spells, but there's no reason. The best part in Kansas City is there is no reason to think it's going to stop. Andy and Patrick Mahomes aren't going anywhere for a while. Brett Veach is young by GM standards. He's not going anywhere for a while either. Like, no one is leaving. Like, with the Warriors, and like the football problem is, you know, guys get old, people move. Like, well, they won't eventually have Kelce and Jones and Hill, but they'll still have Mahomes. And that's more important than all of the other pieces.
They'll still have Mahomes, but also right now, there's nobody you have more faith in to run your organization in terms of Brett Veach right now. He's already put himself.
He's got to be right at the top of the list.
It's a name that maybe on a national level, people didn't know all that well until the last, for some people, maybe even the last couple of weeks. If not, it was when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, when there were all the articles coming about him being the youngest general manager to win a Super Bowl in NFL history and things like that. But overall, when you are the rest of the National Football League, as Lewis Riddick said on the drive yesterday, I'm like, this is not what you were hoping to see.
For the competition, this is exactly what they don't want to see. They don't want to see Kansas City continuing to reward their young players and lock them up for the foreseeable future, because what that is, that's the foundation for building a dynasty that everyone keeps talking about and debating about whether or not Kansas City can become. And Chris Jones is just another piece to add on to that foundation that they're trying to build down there in Kansas City.
Yeah,
so
deadline.
Hats off to Brett Veach, the general manager, without a doubt.
That was on ESPN, excuse me, yesterday from Lewis Riddick. Yeah, he did join the drive, though, fairly recently as well. But no, when you're looking at the rest of the National Football League, you have to be seeing this. And you're first of all, if you're a fan of another team that's today at 3 o'clock and the franchise tag deadline's going on, and you're hearing that your team's probably not signing your guy long term, and all because, and you're hearing this because they can't do it because of financials, you got to be looking at, wait a second, you must not really want to lock that guy up. Because I think what this has also proven over the last week or so, and Mahomes is an quote unquote easy one to decide that you want that guy long term, but with Chris Jones and Mahomes in the last week, it shows that when you want to keep a guy, you will truly find a way to make it happen. You will finagle the cap and whatever joke of the cap might be. If you want that guy or multiple stud players at that position, you're going to find a way to get it done, and the Chiefs have been able to do that.
You also have to have that relationship with the player. Like, Chris Jones gave something up in this deal. He took $0 in signing bonus money was the report from Ian Rappaport on this show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Said that he was not going to get a signing bonus. He's just going to get a salary. Players like that. Players like a big chunk of money they get to just start sticking into a bank account. That's where it all goes. That's where it all starts. Like, players like that security. And he walked away from that. But the Chiefs gave him something in return, which was $60 million in guarantees to go with it. You have to actually want to do. And some of it is, I'll give Brett Veach credit, because I wondered, because you always have to with GMs or managers or coaches, they will sometimes tell you things that are lip service gold. And they kept talking about how much they wanted to sign Chris Jones. I'm like, yeah, but like every other move you've made, not said, would have indicated you weren't interested in bringing him back. You're like, we want Chris Jones. We love him. We want him here long term. I'm like, okay, but you signed Frank Clark. You brought in all these other defensive linemen. It's like, you've done all these other long-term deals. You've like, at what point are you actually going to prove to me that this would, they proved it. Like, they came to the table strong, but Chris Jones still had to give something up. And that's where...
Oh, he deserves credit for that. I mean, I think leading up to it, when the news was coming out, they were at least talking, which was a positive. It still didn't seem like it was going to happen, but when both sides were talking for the first time in months about a potential deal, if it was going to get done, I think a lot of people said, well, then what is Chris Jones willing to give up on this? The Chiefs said during the Mahomes press conference and kind of threw it out there that there's still some room. Sure. Mahomes left us some flexibility to get this thing done, but... what are you willing to do if you're Chris Jones? And he wanted to get at least $20 million per year. And he did get that, though. Like he did get the 20. Yes, it's 16.1, but overall the average, he's getting that $20 million, which is the range that he wanted to get in. And in order to get that, yeah, he had to give up the signing bonus. And that was the trade. That was something that maybe he wasn't willing to, for a player. And he maybe wasn't willing to do that 2 months ago.
Or a year ago.
Or whatever it may be.
Because that was a report. Like, when they were starting these conversations a year ago, he wanted to just tear up the final year of his deal. This time he can tear up the final year of his deal. That's the way he wasn't going to get a signing bonus for being under the franchise tag. He was just going to get a normal check. So this is no different than any other year. He just gets to keep playing here for three more years after it. There were a lot of concessions made, I think. But yes, I would be very fearful, Gold. If I were another team thinking I had a chance at the Super Bowl this year, this is bad news. Or for the next couple of years. Like, if you think your Lamar Jackson window is 3 years from now under his pretty cheap deal, it's not a great feeling to know that Chris Jones is going to be there to bug you the entire time.
Chris Jones sent out a tweet among a bunch of tweets yesterday, certainly excited about this opportunity and getting that financial security long term. He sent out the latest tweet late last night was, I love you at Chiefs. I promise to bring you more championship rings and a defensive player of the year. And now he said the back-to-back right away after the Super Bowl. We were both there at postgame, and I was like, 25 minutes after the game, he was saying they're going back-to-back and they're going to run it back and things like that. But the last part was interesting. Defensive player of the year. As a fan, you look at that, and again, you love that entire tweet. One, you're talking about more rings. You love that he's talking about being a defensive player of the year. Now, deep down, if you really look at it, you love the attitude. Deep down, if we're actually looking at it, there's no way he's not winning defensive player of the year. I think he's unbelievable. We had a great discussion yesterday before the news even broke about Aaron Donald and Chris Jones. And I said, I actually think the gap's a little bit closer than people would think. Aaron Donald's clearly the best defensive lineman in football, but it's closer. Chris Jones is the second best defensive lineman in all of football. But I also don't think, given his position and also just with when you're on a team where everybody is thinking offense on a national perspective, they're not talking about the defense. I don't think there's any way he's winning defensive player of the year. No, absolutely not.
Some of the more recent defensive player of the years are defensive linemen. They're named Aaron Donald,
yeah, uh-huh.
J.J. Watt, Khalil Mack.
Yeah, those are edge rushers, though, the last two.
Yeah, well, Aaron Donald
he's all over, but yeah.
I mean, he moves anywhere on the defensive line. But,
Khalil Mack or J.J. Watt.
You know what the key between that, though, is sacks. Like, that's how you get defensive player of the year. Sacks. Like, if you want to be in the last 15 years... there have been a lot more. Like, if you go back into the 90s and stuff, there's a lot of variation in it. Because Luke Kuechly's won one in the last decade. But you go further back, there's some, like, Derek Brooks won it. But sacks are an easily... and Stephon Gilmore won it last year.
Mm-hmm.
But sacks are an easy, tangible number to actually, put your head around. So if he can lead the NFL in sacks, then he absolutely can win Defensive Player of the Year. Last year, the sack leader was 17 with Chandler Jones, 15 and a half with Vic Beasley the year before that. Oh, I'm sorry, that's 2017. And then J.J. Watt in a year that he was 17 and a half. Now he had 1,000 tackles, so he's got that going for him too. Justin Houston led the league in sacks with 22, so even that won't necessarily get
that
you.
That still doesn't get it to
Defensive Player of the Year. I'm not saying it's just that, but I'm saying that better be step one. Like, Aaron Donald has led the league in sacks at 20 and a half and won NFL Defensive Player of the Year that year. So if he wants to do it, he needs to probably look somewhere in that 18 to 20 sack range and be one of the most disruptive players in the NFL. Am I betting money on it? No. But I wasn't betting on money on him signing here either, and he somehow did it. So the very least for me, I like the attitude. You know, the rings are the more important part. Don't care about the Defensive Player of the Year, Chris. Cool that that's a goal of yours. Glad it's a goal of yours. Let's talk more about those rings, because that's the part of this arrangement I'm in agreement of.
And looking at it, and I, you know, Aaron Donald listed as a defensive tackle. We know he's not just that by any means, but the last true just defensive tackle is Warren Sapp in 1999. And I know the game has changed, right? Back then, you really were more focused about the run, which is why when everybody does bring up, you know, Chris Jones and what about him against the run? And we'll talk with Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus at 11 about this. It and Therese even hinted at this yesterday a little bit when he's on with the drive, though, and I think it's a good point. It's like, does, if you are as strong against the run as a player, but when you have the pass rushing ability like Chris Jones, is it all that big of a deal in 2020? Now, if Chris Jones was playing in the 90s and he struggled against the run, that's much more problematic. The league is pass happy now. We know where the league is headed, and it doesn't seem like it's going in the opposite direction, that's for sure. Like, if there was a time, like, Chris Jones playing in this era, it's not problematic. That's why you don't have an issue giving out the contract. It's not problematic, and I think some of it's overblown anyway about Chris Jones against the run to a certain extent. But in 2020, it really isn't as detrimental as if he was playing in the 90s.
It's a passing league. He's got to stop that first. He's a disruptive player. I know that he's not the guy against the run that, you know, people seem to think he is, but... Steve Palazzolo, the numbers are obviously going to probably support the fact that he's not that. But I think he's more disruptive there than people give him credit for, too. And all he has to do is be pretty good there and then be an elite pass rusher. That's all that matters. Bill Moss, he was on the drive yesterday. He talked about Chris Jones and just how hard it is to find a pass rusher at his position.
If you don't have the guy that pushes the pocket, it doesn't matter who you have on the edges. It really doesn't. You have one of the best players in the league on the edge. And if you don't have the push in the pocket, they're just going to run. They're just going to step up in the pocket, and tackle's going to run the defensive end or outside linebacker right by him. And that's the way it's always been. So the Chiefs realize what a force he is in the middle. And that push and that disruption, that causes big-time problems with the timing of a quarterback in a passing game. And that's who Chris Jones is. He's a guy that's always going to be there. He's a guy that's probably going to have 8-10 sacks a year and continually pressure the pocket. And those guys are hard to find in the middle.
That's what makes him different than the other interior defensive linemen for me, is other guys have been disruptive in the middle, and we can see that. And we, you know, and if you follow football closely, people will tell you, hey, that's what makes the other guys better. And we've said that about Chris Jones, right? Like, and it's the chicken versus the egg. Does Frank Clark make Chris Jones better? Does Chris Jones make Frank Clark better? And the answer is they both make each other better. But, like, unlike a guy like, say, Haloti Ngata, who is an incredibly disruptive player in the middle and caused problems for teams as a result of that, he also piles up sacks. Like, it isn't just I'm a disruption in the middle. It's I'm a disruption in the middle, and I also get the quarterback.
I mean, I would agree that yesterday, if you're saying who, you know, you're going through who won yesterday besides Chris Jones and the Chiefs and Brett Veach getting plenty of attention, and as he should, Frank Clark should also be thrilled with the news that Frank Clark is going to have Chris Jones a little bit to his left or right there for the next 4 years. Like, yes, so that absolutely is certainly more beneficial for a guy like Frank Clark as well. And where Frank Clark, yes, he already got paid, but still from an on-field performance and for the discussion we were having yesterday about Frank Clark, I still think this year will be a top 10 pass rusher in football. That becomes a heck of a lot more likely to be that consistently for the next couple of years, because Chris Jones is going to be part of the middle of that defensive line. I just think, again, like, if there's probably plenty of linemen out there that wish they were playing in today's era of football. that were pass rushers. Like, go back to former Chiefs, like Neil Smith, for example. I'm sure Neil Smith would love to be playing in 2020. He would have loved to be playing in this type of era of the National Football League. And that's why the runs, the discussion about Chris Jones against the run and things like that, I don't think it matters as much here because of just the way the game is played at this point in time. Again, we'll talk more about Chris Jones and his impact on this defense and the analytical side of that with Steve Palazzolo coming up at 11 o'clock. But other teams still do have to worry about 3 o'clock today. They're trying to lock up some pieces for the long term, but it seems like there's not much traction, which is what makes it that much more exciting and impressive that the Chiefs were able to get this thing done.
Here for the next 5 hours. Oh, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. There's a deadline today?
What 3 o'clock? We're actually going to be buying some more Dom Perignon at the liquor store in Kansas City celebrating. That's what we'll be doing, but before 3 o'clock, we won't be stressing things out.
How did she not break this story? I
did see her tweet. I thought she handled it well. She said, "I let Adam Schefter have this one." So that was pretty funny from her yesterday, of course, referencing the news about Mahomes' contract from a week ago. But there are teams like the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott. It doesn't seem all that promising that Dak Prescott is going to, you know, have a deal, does it, at this point in time? Because when you look at 3 o'clock, there hasn't been much movement on that. In fact, here's what Ian Rapoport had to say was the latest with Dak and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
It's not looking good, as far as my understanding, Kate, for Dak Prescott to have a long-term, even a short-term deal with the Dallas Cowboys after today, just a couple hours to go before the deadline. And from what I understand, no talks are scheduled right now between the Cowboys and Dak Prescott's agent, Todd France. And, you know, you mentioned Jane Slater's tweet about the final offer. That actually came several weeks or maybe even months ago between the Cowboys and Prescott. They wanted to pay him about $35 million per year, around where Russell Wilson was, but they wanted a 5-year deal. Prescott wants a 4-year deal.
So it's about length of the contract in Dallas. And what do you say? That offer was from a couple months ago. They just haven't had any, truly hadn't had any dialogue. Now, we know things changed the last minute for Chris Jones because it seemed like there wasn't much dialogue between the two for a couple months. But at least last week there was dialogue. They haven't even got to that point. This thing's not going to happen. Dak Prescott's going to be French. He's going to sign. He already signed the tender, but he's going to play on the franchise tag, which is about $31 million.
And the reason why there was less dialogue is because they were trying to work out Patrick Mahomes' deal.
Right.
That's why. No one else is getting a deal done today. I am not confident about any of them. Schefter gave an update to Yannick Ngakoue earlier, who said Jaguars, Yannick Ngakoue is engaged in contract discussions with multiple teams, as in not just the Jaguars, but apparently, you know, times being what they are, it is difficult. He said he'd play flexibility to play under the tag for someone else and then work out a long
time. He just wants out of Jacksonville.
Can you blame him?
No, not at all.
Can you blame him? Like, when we all knew it was a bad idea to move forward with Bortles. Like, we all knew that wasn't the reason why they were in the AFC title game, and they just kept making bad decisions moving forward with it. Like, it was pretty obvious. And he's far too productive to be mired on a bad team for too long. But it just doesn't seem like, I mean, right now, like, you know, Hunter Henry said he's going to sign his tag. Derrick Henry sounds like he's going to sign his tag, right? I mean, right now, we're looking at a lot of players who are going to be on 1-year deal and then enter a free agency market that doesn't look to be particularly kind next year, considering what the cap situation might be if this pandemic affects it the way we think it will.
Which is a likely flat cap. It appears that's the direction that it's heading in, and still just uncertainty in general of what may or may not happen. But that's why, you know, you look at the situation that Kansas City found themselves in, and if we were sitting into today, like at this point in time, we would not have been surprised if Chris Jones and the Chiefs, there was nothing going on really, and we were waiting till 3 o'clock. They got it done earlier too. That's what's nice. So amazing. We asked Ian Rapoport about the timing. It was like they got it done earlier. Typically, even when these deals do happen, they happen at the last, truly at the last minute. They got it done to over 24 hours before the deadline even happened. But it doesn't look like, if you're Dak Prescott, I mean, clearly Jerry Jones doesn't think Dak Prescott, there's a lot of people that feel this way, that Dak Prescott is the long-term solution at quarterback. And he's, I think, going to have to go to an NFC championship game or get to a Super Bowl for the Cowboys next offseason to give him the long-term contract that he's seeking, even if it's 4 years or versus 5 years.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.